This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 854. Should you speak the way you write?
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 50 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Boston and New York City, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. Today, we get a meaty question from Takashi, who wonders if the top-heavy style of writing also works for English speaking. Find out the key takeaway to consider every time you write something or say something in English to connect.
This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. As a business owner myself, I've learned that the most important key to success is having a great team. But it can be time-consuming, reading through tons of resumes. Need to hire a great candidate at your company? Why not eliminate the busy work? Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. Just in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Michelle, what's going on with you?
Not too much, Lindsay. Not too much. How are you?
Well, I have a little bit of a cold, a head cold, but I guess you can't tell, huh? You can't tell that I'm stuffed up?
I can't hear it, Lindsay. I'm sorry you don't feel well, though. But no, I mean, you sound good to me.
Yeah, I feel okay physically. Just a little head cold. No big deal. This kind of thing, this kind of stuff that catches up with us once in a while.
Especially in this time of year.
Oh my gosh, the holidays are coming. We're already in early December here. Thanksgiving has passed, and this is crazy. It's crazy how the time's going. 2017
is
almost done. Yeah, it's insane. So, Michelle, do you write? Do you do a lot of writing?
I've taken like writing classes for fun because I guess that's I find it to be fun, but I mean since I'm not in school, I guess I don't do that much writing. I'm mostly emails, right?
Yeah, totally.
What about
totally.
You?
Well, yeah, you're right. So I was in grad school about 5 years ago and I did writing all the time, but now I really don't do any kind of academic writing. I write text messages, I write emails, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well. That's interesting. I mean, I guess people lose the skill of writing if they don't.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it stays with you. It's like riding a bike, right? But
yeah.
But yeah, there are certain things that, you know, I guess you have to brush up on.
Oh, yeah. I guess I write like the blog, the All Ears English blog. I do work on that once a week. So a little bit of writing here and there. But Michelle, would you say that you write the same way you speak?
It depends what I'm writing for. But if it's for academic... No. And even for some formal emails, no. But if I'm writing to a friend, yes.
Okay. So it's interesting that you just said that. It depends who I'm writing to and what I'm writing for. That is going to be the key piece.
Ding, ding, ding.
For today's episode. We don't need to do the episode now.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening to All Ears English.
That's it. No. But that's an important thing that you just said, right? It depends on the audience. Of course it does. So we have a great question from Takashi from Tokyo, possibly my favorite city.
Yes.
And you love Tokyo too, Michelle.
I love Tokyo. So much.
We love Japan. Oh, okay, so we're going to dive into it. We're going to read the question. It is kind of a long question, so we're going to pair off here. We're going to, what's the word? Alternate.
Okay.
So, Michelle, do you want to start?
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Here we go. My name is Takashi. I live in Tokyo. I'm a regular listener of All Ears English podcast since the summer of 2014. The selection of topics and your rhythmical chats, oh, I like that, on the program are awesome, keeping me motivated to develop my English skill. Actually, I'm feeling like it's getting better than better even than when I was in Scotland 3 years ago, and I'm looking forward to the chance to meet you two to thank you face-to-face in the future. Oh, well, I look forward to it too. You want to go ahead, Lindsay?
Sure. Yeah, thank you for that compliment, Takashi. Very excited that you're a listener. So, Takashi, here's your question. Do you agree that native English speakers use simple and light words such as I, you, we, they, it, this, and that at the initial position of the sentence in conversation much more often than in written form? Michelle, you want to keep going for
us? Sure.
Okay.
This is what an English conversation themed book published in Japan pointed out, which impressed me to start focusing on this aspect every time I listen to native English speakers' conversations, of course, including your chats on the podcast. And I noticed that it sure is true. I like that. And works to avoid the top-heavy sentence, too. Yeah. In the case of Japan, the teenagers are required to read many English texts regarding complicated topics, religion, politics, philosophy, etc., if they want to have the higher education. These topics are full of top-heavy sentences, which I assume aims at making it look noble and elegant. Also, most Japanese students have no chance to learn the difference between the written English and conversational English. These facts create the problem that many Japanese people tend to start English conversations with long and heavy words, such as spending your weekend just on shopping and chatting with your friends wastes time. I think this sounds just doesn't sound natural and makes it difficult for native speakers to understand what they mean. My opinion is that it should be like it would waste time if you spend your weekend just on shopping and chatting with your friends. All right, Lindsay, you want to finish it out?
It's a little bit long. We're almost done here. I believe that non-natives should have an opportunity to see the difference between written and verbal English, including what I mentioned here. What do you think? I'm really happy if you cover this topic in a future episode. Cheers, Takashi. Awesome. Okay. So I know that was a long question, but I think this is a really important topic, especially for our listeners. Okay. Yeah. So at your level, guys, this is going to mean the difference between connection and not connection. That's why we're going through this long question and we're going to answer this question. Okay.
Okay. Love it.
Good like question. It. Yeah. So where do we want to start here, Michelle? It's a juicy question.
It is. It is. Well, so first of all, guys, yes, there is a difference between written and spoken English. And yes, it does affect how we start the sentence. Yeah. And yes, guys, in Japan, right? Lindsay, what do you think about the textbooks? I mean, did you explore those?
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. I worked for a conversation language school, more of a corporation. So it wasn't like public school. So it was a little different. But yeah, you might see written English translated into spoken English. But the problem is it still sounds like spoken written English. So you sound like a dictionary. You sound like a Thoreau novel or something, and it doesn't help you connect. Okay. That's the point. That's what it's about today. You need to be able to connect. That's what we believe is most important. You can sound brilliant. You can sound like a scholar, but who cares if you can't connect with the person in front of you? That's our philosophy, okay? It's not everyone's philosophy, but it's what we believe here, all right? So today, Michelle, we're going to break this down, all right, for Takashi and for our listeners. We're going to give you guys the characteristics of spoken English and written English, okay? Because we want to give you broader skills than just answering the question directly. We want to show you guys how to know the difference so that you can start speaking the right way at the right time, okay? So, Michelle, what are some of the characteristics of spoken English?
So spoken English is, well, it has kind of a less of an emphasis on grammar.
And that doesn't mean you can go around making tons of mistakes, right? It's not an excuse to make mistakes. But, you know, we've talked on this show about how, like, sometimes I'll just, like, change my thought in the middle of the sentence and the grammar form that I was going to use, I use the old one, so it ends up being wrong because I'm thinking something different than what I'm saying.
Does that make sense? Sure.
Yeah.
So, and then also, you know, in, well, kind of like what you were saying, Lindsay, you're less prepared when you're speaking, right? So you can have false starts, you can have unmatching grammar forms, right? So exactly what you said, right?
That's right. So exactly. So that's the point. So we could start over. We could go in a different direction. So the grammar forms might not always match. Another characteristic is that it's informal and conversational. Usually, again, although when we're giving a speech, it's not. So yeah, so that's another piece. So there's even different forms of spoken English too.
Okay. Right. Of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The best way to make sure that this show will bring your English to the next level is to listen 4 days a week. Get in the habit. We publish every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So go ahead and hit subscribe right now to make sure that you hear from us 4 days a week. Thanks, guys.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And then, mm-hmm. But in spoken English, sometimes we can have unfinished sentences, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or we could have interjections, like one word sentences like, hey, or oh, or why, right? So right. Little things that are thrown in there that you wouldn't see in written English. So so that's spoken English. Do you feel good about that, Michelle? Is there anything you want to add to that?
I feel good about it. I feel really good about it.
She's feeling good. Okay.
We feeling can keep going. Good.
Good. I'm glad. So when it comes to written English, though, Michelle, I think it's really important. What's the kind of specification we need to make here? I mean, what does it depend on? Like, we can't just say written English. That's too broad.
Right. Well, it depends on what kind of writing you're doing. So like we said in the beginning, are you writing for a blog or a marketing company, right? So if you're doing that, what kind of writing would it be, Lindsay?
Well, I can tell you when I write the All Ears English blog, we often do one sentence paragraphs. Like the one sentence is the paragraph and then we skip a line, we move to the next paragraph. But you would never do that in an academic paper. So it's so different, right? It's quick, it's to the point. It's one word sentences, one sentence paragraphs. It's efficient and direct.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right. Awesome.
Yeah. So what else?
That's going to be different, like very different than if you are writing, if it's an academic paper written by a PhD student or a PhD or a researcher then the sentences may be longer, and they may mm-hmm. be more organized, right? What else, Lindsay?
Yeah. I mean, in this case, you're getting like long sentences, you're building a case, you're providing evidence. And this is kind of the top heavy sentence, I think, that Takashi referred to. So, we're going to talk about to answer your question a little bit more after, but most people are not going to speak in that kind of top heavy form because you're not building a case unless you're a lawyer, you're in a courtroom. But even then, you're going to be more direct and to the point. It's articulating something in spoken is different than written. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you're writing for the IELTS exam. This is a wild card. We're going to throw it in there, guys. It's totally different from the academic rules. So a lot of people will go into IELTS thinking, well, I went to college. I passed writing. I know how to write academic writing. I can pass IELTS writing. Wrong. You can't. I mean, it's different. So there are all these special rules that only apply to IELTS writing. So if you guys want to know about that, you could go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com and we talk about that for days. Okay, for days. All right. So one final point, Michelle, anything else?
All right. It's that in general, good writing is concise, right? Yes. In English, it's less wordy and more punchy.
Yeah, I think this is true. I mean, if even in college writing, I guess some of those academic journals that get published, they are really long. Do you remember reading those in school, Michelle?
Yeah, sure.
So I feel like they go by different rules, but generally good writing is short, it's to the point, it's direct in American English. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that might not be the case in your language because we've talked to Europeans who have learned to write long and flowery sentences and those are not effective here. Okay. In a general way.
Well, I mean, unless you're writing a novel.
Unless you're writing a special kind of novel and then you got to find your own voice, right? And then the question comes like, what's my voice? What's my writing voice?
Exactly. So, but yeah, I remember, taking writing classes and having teachers delete things and just being like, this isn't relevant. This is repetitive, right? So that's what this makes me think of.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I love that. That's a good point. So this is such a big question, but let's try to answer Takashi's question directly. So he asked about the top heavy sentences. So let's take that question, that example he used. And what was the quote, Michelle?
Okay. The quote was, spending your weekend just on shopping and chatting with your friends wastes the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could say that. It's not wrong. You know, to me, it sounds a little more academic. Sounds maybe like something you'd see in a newspaper. I wouldn't say this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you? I mean, it just feels like it takes a lot of work to say that sentence.
I don't know. I'm imagining it in different. Like if I'm just talking to my friend and I'm like, yeah, spending your weekend just shopping and chatting with your friends waste time. Like I could see hear myself saying it, but I would probably add in, you know, I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't say this personally. Spending your saying it in a certain way, right? Imagine it like this. Yeah, I mean, Lindsay, just spending your weekend just on shopping and chatting with your friends waste time. I mean, did that sound unnatural to you?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's possible to say that. I mean, what I might say to shorten it up is just a shortener. I might say something like, it's a waste of time to spend your weekend chatting with friends, something like that. Just that ing at the beginning to me is a little bit top heavy and it takes a long time. But you're right. Like, I think you could say that. I think we could say it. I think what it's going to come down to today, guys, is who you're talking to and we are you know, where are you and what do you have time for?
Right.
You know? And then our listener Takashi suggested this phrase, it would waste time if you spend your weekend just on shopping and chatting with your friends. I mean, you know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the beginning kind of throws me off. I think it would sound better if you said it's a waste of time to spend your weekend chatting with friends, right, Lindsay?
I like that better. I like that better. Yeah. So in some ways, it comes down to personal style. Like I really like short kind of instructive phrases sometimes, especially on our blog, because we're teaching something like this. Don't spend your weekend chatting with friends because it wastes time. That's instructive. But obviously, you don't want to go around being instructive all the time. People will think you're bossy.
Right.
Again, we're just showing you that it's not like... It's not, you don't have just two choices, Takashi. You have many choices. Okay. And you're going to use different variations of this depending on where you're writing or where you're speaking.
Right. True.
How do you feel about flowery sentences, like long sentences?
Yeah, I don't like them. I don't like them even in a novel. I mean, that's just not my style. I don't like to read them. I sometimes my mind wanders. Yeah. You know, there, you know, I guess in poetry or things like that when, you know, it's really, you know, it can be beautiful. But I like just tell me what it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, the best way to show that you really understand something is not to explain it in a detailed and flowery way. It's to explain it in a simple way. Right. The best teachers can understand can explain something very simply and easily. And quickly, in very simple terms, that's a true display of understanding. So good writing is articulating in a punchy, concrete, simple way, at least in this country. Okay. So it might be different in your home country, guys. So this is where it's, you know, we got to know the differences.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point.
Yeah. So what are the takeaways today? This has been a big chunk to bite off today, Michelle. what do we want to come away with today for our listeners?
Well, guys, you know, just remember, don't speak the way your native language writes, right?
That's probably the first thing, yeah.
Yeah, right? And always know what is your goal, right? If you're writing, are you writing an academic paper? Are you writing a blog post or a sentimental letter, right? Mm-hmm. Or email, right? So that's going to determine your language choice.
Exactly. And then once you've identified what your goal is, let's say there's something you do all the time, like do you write blog posts for a marketing company all the time? Then you want to consume a lot of similar material to that. Then you want to consume, like read a lot of blogs, marketing blogs, right? So, or if you're writing papers for a university in the US, read a lot of academic papers and you're going to start to mirror their style. It's all about genre, right? Here, this question is all about genre and, you know, different types of writing and reading and speaking, rather. Sorry, writing and speaking. Okay.
Right. I like it. Yeah.
So what's another example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to give a motivational speech in English, right? Mm-hmm. Consume mm-hmm. podcasts from personal development coaches and mirror their style.
Exactly. Like Tony Robbins or something. Like, he's the first personal development coach that comes to my mind. If you're giving speeches, if you're like a motivational speaker, you've been hired to go to organizations and give speeches, you want to consume the same type of material. Okay. So that's really the takeaway. I mean, the overall idea today is there's no one right or wrong way to speak or write. It just depends on who you're talking to. So good.
Right. Love it.
Okay. Awesome. So guys, the first step to really getting this down is to figure out what we've just said on the show today, right? So go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe, get on the subscription list. You'll save 50% and you'll get this transcripts delivered to you every Monday in your email inbox. Such a good deal.
Great.
Okay. Very cool. Michelle, thanks for tackling this topic with me today. And Takashi, thanks for your question. Very good question.
All right. Awesome. I agree. Thanks, guys, for listening.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to All Ears English. And if you need a 7 or higher on your IELTS exam to achieve your life vision, then our insider method can get you there. Start with our free video series masterclass. Get video 1 now at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then subscribe to our show on your phone or on your computer. See you next time.